Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, Robert Knott is going to be with us speaking of the arts, and Linda Siegel will join us with the legislative update. Right now, it is today, February 20th, Environmental Justice Day at the legislature. It's the fourth annual Environmental Justice Day, and we have various speakers here in the cafe with us. Dave Arnold is with the Blue Water Valley Downstream Alliance. Nadine Padilla is with the SAGE Council and the Multicultural Alliance for a Safe Environment. And Sophia Martinez is with the Southwest Network for Environmental and Economic Justice. Welcome, everybody, to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning.
So, on this day, environmental justice, first of all, that term needs to be explained.
Yes. Well, environmental justice is really the response to what we call environmental racism, or what now is more commonly called environmental injustice. But basically, that's the siting of dirty and polluting industry and dumps in poor and communities of color. And in New Mexico, we've been doing a lot of work nationally. We've done a lot of work nationally in the environmental justice movement for the last 20 years. But over the last year, we've really begun to concentrate in the environmental justice issues in New Mexico. And there are plenty to talk about, from the northern part of the state to the southern part of the state, where we have the tremendous amount of feedlots and air quality issues. There was a study just put out that talked about how in the southeastern part of the state, people are reporting to emergency rooms at two-thirds a higher rate than the rest of the state or even the nation, right?
With kinds of conditions?
Asthma. And that's always a problem with the pollution, air quality, right? So environmental justice in New Mexico over the last 8 years, what we've done is we were able to bring together the New Mexico Environment Department and Region 6 to do environmental justice listening sessions throughout the state. I think we talked about them maybe a couple of years ago here on your program, Mary Charlotte. And out of that came the New Mexico Environmental Justice Policy Group that was created by the New Mexico Environment Department. And out of that came the Governor Richardson's executive order on environmental justice, which created a statewide environmental justice task force. It's supposed to be an interagency process that brings together the different agencies of the state to look at environmental justice issues, whether it be in health and transportation, not only in environment. For the last 4 years, we've had an Environmental Justice Day at the legislature because we're looking at environmental justice in New Mexico and not only assessing what our communities are going through and advocating and organizing around those issues, but also looking at policy, right, whether it be regulations, administrative, or the legislature. And this will be our fourth Environmental Justice Day at the legislature. We're very proud of that. We've had a little bit of problems passing environmental justice regulation because, unfortunately, every segment of industry is opposed to that. But we do have a memorial this year called the Senator Memorial 46. It will be looking at creating regional health profiles in certain environmental justice regions of the state, right? One region that the memorial would look at is the Mountain View area of the South Valley of Albuquerque. Another would look at the Uranium Belt, and another would look at Mesquite in the southern part of the state. And again, we're not looking at gathering any new health data, but rather collecting all the health data that has ever been produced in those areas, whether it be from grassroots organizations or agencies, right? And really looking at what kinds of health risks or health issues are already there in the community, and how can that inform the Department of Health, the Department of the Environment, in terms of issuing permits, and the Department of Health, obviously, in their planning and services, right? We're also here lobbying with the MAZE, the Multicultural Alliance for a Safe Environment, and Nadine is going to talk a little bit about that. And we also have, as you said, Dave Arnold. He's one of the members of the MAZE, the Multicultural Alliance for a Safe Environment. And Dave is a member of an impacted community in the Milan Grants area.
Do you want to tell us about that, Dave?
Sure. The Blue Water Valley Downstream Alliance is a group of residents out in the Blue Water Valley just outside of Milan. And we are located in the region of the Homestake Mine, which has tailing ponds and tailing piles that are situated right next to our subdivisions and our properties. and we live in that shadow. And
what kind of mining?
It was uranium mining. Uh-huh. That is, that we Homestake Mining was a mill. That's where we live, right next to the old mill. The mining was going on up around Ambrosia Lake and other points in the area of Cibola and McKinley County, and they would bring the uranium down to the mill to be processed. And in the result was that they left huge amounts, vast amounts of tailings behind, and that basically have poisoned our water, have poisoned our land, have poisoned our air.
So basically with radioactivity?
With uranium poisoning, yes. With, for instance, my water was tested 2 years ago by the New Mexico Environmental Department and was found to be unsafe to drink or to have. That's through my well.
What do you do?
Live with it right now.
And, I mean, do you drink it? I mean, you can't put it through a filter and have the...
No, it's not filterable.
Yeah.
Basically, for drinking water, I would have to go and get bottled water. But you're still showering in it. You're still washing your dishes. You're still in contact with it. It's useless. And it's also devalued our properties. When I'm new to this area, 3 years. When I moved here, it was just a quote-unquote rumor. And now all of a sudden it's becoming reality that all these people over the years that have complained and been known as rumor mongers have been proven right. So basically, back in the 1980s, there was a lawsuit that was filed by all these property owners, and the mines agreed that they would clean up the water, clean up the land within 10 years. That was early 1980s.
Oh boy.
Here we are with nothing done. We have 38,000 acres of destroyed property, and every time we turn around, the mining company there, Homestake, who's owned by Barrick Gold Company Corporation, they do things like, for instance, we just found out this week that the New Mexico Environmental Department put a cease and desist order on them for discharging this water. What they were doing is just basically taking the water and dumping it into fields as if it's irrigation water.
What, and the water from?
It would be the water that they're trying to clean up in the tailings and the tailings.
So they're using their radioactive cleanup water to irrigate fields.
That's what it appears to us to be, yes. And apparently there's been this was just news this week that we learned that there was a cease and desist order because they're discharging this water without a permit.
Right.
And so that apparently is their latest strategy to clean up is let's put it out in these fields. Let's just... let it evaporate and go. So we're working with several people on trying to determine exactly what's going on. The EPA, US EPA, basically had a report that came out about a month ago, and it was some contractor that wrote the report, did not even check with any of us residents, strictly went over and looked at the records from the mine and wrote a report saying everything's just hunky-dory.
Okay.
And we're right now in the process of rebutting that report. We've got an analyst that's working with us by the EPA's provided that for us, and he's looking at all of the various actual things that are there and the processes that go on at the mill, and we're rebutting that report at this point.
We're talking to Dave Arnold from the Blue Water Valley Downstream Alliance, and Nadine Padilla is with us. She is from the SAGE Council and the Multicultural Alliance for a Safe Environment. Tell us what you're working on.
So Dave Arnold is from one of our core groups of the Multicultural Alliance for a Safe Environment, also known as MACE. And what we are is we're a coalition of community groups from people that from communities that have been directly impacted by uranium mining. So we have a group from Laguna and a group from Acoma, the Laguna-Acoma Coalition for a Safe Environment. We have the Post-71 Uranium Workers Committee from Grants. We have the Blue Water Valley Downstream Alliance from Milan. And then representing the Navajo Nation, we have the Eastern Navajo Diné Against Uranium Mining, NDOM, and we have the Diné Pitzil Coalition. And so these are community organizations and community groups that have that have been working on uranium issues for like 30, 40 years now. And so, but the MACE coalition was recently formed. I think we're in our second year now. And so we've combined all the efforts that everybody has been working on to just even get basic things like cleanup or health studies done, which have never even been done by anybody except the community groups that are working on this.
Right.
And so the only health studies that have been done are through like the Southwest Research and Information Center, along with some of the Navajo groups that are, and the Post-71 workers who have taken it upon ourselves to do our own health surveys and to look at the rates of cancers and the rates of birth defects and stillborns and asthma and all these horrible issues that are affecting
our communities. Are these things you've seen yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I live in Grants. My family, my name is Nadine Padilla. I'm Navajo, Isleta, and Laguna, and I'm living in Grants right now. But my family is from Blue Water Lake, which is just up the road from Pruitt, New Mexico, kind of between Grants and Gallup. And, you know, my family there, we still, like, use water from the lake that's there, and we use that water to feed all the animals. My grandma's, like, sheep and cows and stuff, which we then eat and then drink that water. And so it's just really scary knowing, like, what's in the water and the effects that it has. And so far in my family, just one of my aunts has passed away from cancer a couple years ago. But, I mean, that's pretty common in our communities, is that everybody has somebody who's passed away from cancer or is currently suffering from cancer or, you know, any of the other problems that this uranium has created.
So the organizations represented in MAZE, in terms of the core organizations, all have members that are family members that suffer from kidney and liver diseases and lung cancers. And people many times say, oh, well, you know, people smoke. Well, there's been studies done that even in the Navajo Nation, that is a population that is not known for heavy smoking, right? Teddy Nez, who couldn't be here today, he's from the Church Rock area. In the last 5 years, that's Region 9, because unfortunately, of the EPA, they have two regions that deal with the uranium belt, which makes it really difficult for people also to get any kind of comprehensive response to, whether it be the groundwater contamination, the male tailings piles. In Teddy's community, he talks about PTSD, that they suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder because, you know, they open up their doors in the morning and the mine tailings are right there. You're sending off your kids to work and everything's blowing around, right? So your kids are constantly being impacted by that. Recently, the Region 9 of the EPA went into that community and moved everyone out for a couple of months, and they cleaned out something like 12 inches of soil around their homes, right? And in the community where there were about 6 houses. But they didn't do anything to clean up the mine tailings, right? And you know, we know how it blows here in New Mexico. Some remediation has been done in the mine tailings, like at Laguna Atama, where, again, lots of people suffering from cancers there. What they do to remediate is they may lay 10 inches of dirt on top of a mine tailing, right? And we all know how the wind blows in New Mexico. It's like that creates a lot of stress for people, because when something's been remediated 10 years ago, what does that mean, right?
Now, Governor Richardson, as you said, made an executive order on the subject of environmental justice. What was the nature of that order, and how efficacious really was it? Has it had an effect?
Well, as an executive order, it doesn't have the rule of a law, right? So we've had to, what it's done basically is really to educate the public about the fact that there are environmental justice issues in New Mexico, not only in the Uranium Belt, but throughout the state. So it's raised the issue, it's privileged the issue, but, you know, we're here at the legislature, and we're talking about EJ Day today. We've been doing a lot of work around the uranium bills that are out there, and whether, you know, obviously this year is a bad year for money, but even when it's a good year for money, almost every segment of industry and their legions of lobbyists come out against environmental justice kinds of bills or memorials, right? We've been here at the legislature for 5 years, and we've only been able to pass a memorial in terms of environmental justice stuff. We've done more work working with, like, the solid waste regulations, et cetera. Because of the rise in uranium over the last 2 years, we've seen a lot of bad uranium bills as well as some good ones. And maybe Nadine can run some of those down, because she's been the lead on that.
It's almost actually time to go, but what I'd like to know is if people want to get involved with this, what should they do? Dave Arnold.
Well, one of the things that is very shocking, especially in the Grants area, is uranium mining wants to come back. They are trying to get uranium mining back there. And our town is split. It's like a war zone almost, from the people who think they're going to be rich now that uranium's coming back, and they're going to be doing a certain type of mining where it's only going to employ about 70 people.
Now, did anyone get rich before?
Yeah, the Grants boomed, actually. And
did it?
When it went out, when the uranium mining left in the 80s, Grants turned into kind of a ghost town. And the only other industry that they ended up with was the prison industry. And so everybody sitting around in Grants, not everybody, because there's those of us who are opposed to it, wanting uranium to come back and thinking that we're going to boom again once it does come back. And when you go to these meetings and you ask the NRC, for instance, how many people are going to be employed in this type of mining operation, which is called in situ leaching mining, which I won't go into, we don't have time. But and the NRC says it takes about 70 people that will be employed at the mine. And all of the proponents of the mining stand up and say, that means 8,000 jobs per mine for us on the peripheral edges of that mine. Well, when I brought my one-man business to Grants, it sure didn't bring 800 jobs to Grants. So it's kind of ridiculous. Our town does not look for anything but uranium mining and prisons to...
Are there people talking about actual economic alternatives that would make uranium mining less, basically create an alternative?
No, for instance, we're right on Route 66, and if our city leaders would explore that as a tourist industry, we could probably prosper down there. But everybody just sees this as a mining opportunity, and wow, we're going to get rich again, our values are going to go up, et cetera. And even to the point where people are putting yard signs up called, we love uranium, we love uranium. It's pretty much a war zone right now between those that want it and those that don't. So what you need to do if you want to get involved is really understand the issues. That's the biggest thing. We have several websites about, my group does, for instance. Mace Group has websites. And we can give you the information on how dangerous this is.
And we've got some legislation, actually, that we'd like to talk about.
Yeah, if people want to get involved right now, we're working on several bills right now that we could really use everybody's support on. Those are SB 188, a bill sponsored by Senator Uleberry to do an aquifer study to look at uranium contamination. There's the Senate Bill 223, sponsored by Senator Lovejoy, which is to do a health study of all the past and current effects of uranium contamination. Here's the Senate Bill 224, also by Senator Lovejoy, to do an inventory of all the abandoned mines so that when we're talking cleanup, we know there's an accurate number of how many mines out there are actually nobody's claiming ownership over. And there's also House Bill 749 by Representative Madalena, which would create the Uranium Legacy Cleanup Fund. And then there's a House Bill 755 by Representative Rotifer, which will give the state of New Mexico the legal right to hold past uranium companies liable for the damages that they caused. So
all
if you could call your legislators or the Senate Finance Committee, we would really appreciate everybody's help on getting these important bills passed.
And all of this is part of the 4th Annual Environmental Justice Day, and there are educational tours of the New Mexico State Legislature today. Is that today?
Yes,
only
they started
from 10 o'clock?
10:30, and then we will have a program from 12 to 1 and lunch, so if you're around there, please drop by. And then we'll be doing constituency visits on our legislators. This evening at 6:30, there's also going to be a dinner at the Park Inn Hotel. That's on 2907 Cerrillos Road. But again, it's very important for people to support those bills that Nadine just talked about.
And if anybody would like more information, they can call it area code 505-242-0416. Thank you all very much for being here. Dave Arnold, Nadine Padilla, and Sophia Martinez, Environmental Justice Day.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break right now. Robert Knott will be with us in just a moment. We'll be right back.